the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. Audio drama, poetry, fiction.
You're listening to the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. Out of the Darkness, a collaborative audio drama.
On the 23rd of March 2020, this happened.
From this evening, I must give the British people a very simple instruction. You must stay at home. Because the critical thing we must do to stop the disease spreading between households, that is why people will only be allowed to leave their home for the following very limited purposes. Shopping for basic necessities as infrequently as possible. One form of exercise a day. For example, a run, walk, cycle, alone or with members of your household. Any medical need to provide care or to help a vulnerable person. And travelling to and from work, but only where this is absolutely necessary and cannot be done from home. That's all. These are the only reasons you should leave your home.
It was one of those moments, the sort you remember all your life. Many had seen it coming. Those who could had already travelled out of the city to stay with siblings, parents, partners. Anything to get away from the anticipated claustrophobia and danger of being in a lockdown city riddled with a virus that was starting to kill people in alarming numbers. But some of us were working right up until the announcement and found ourselves marooned in our tiny studio flats or rooms in shared houses. The city that represented our freedom had become prison, for the foreseeable future anyway.
You should not be meeting friends. If your friends ask you to meet, you should say no. You should say no. You should say no.
And so we didn't. The best group of friends I've ever had. We'd seen each other at least every week for the last few years, and now we couldn't. But today we're meeting up, all travelling to a secret location. If I told you, I'd have to kill you. So there are six of us left from the original group. Freya is a musician, a pretty successful one by all accounts. She's usually off touring and playing gigs. You can often find one or two of us shouting and whooping between songs at her London shows.
This is Edgware Road. This is the Bakerloo line train to Queen's Park.
Please don't sit next to me. Don't sit next to me. Don't sit next to me.
Please stand clear of the doors.
I'll admit, I've never enjoyed sharing personal space with strangers on trains. The battle over the armrest, the interminable tinny drone of secondhand music as they tap their way through another song. But it's different now. It's worse. You know when you place the ends of two magnets together and, try as you might, they just keep pushing each other away? That's how it feels. Like some unseen but all too tangible force is driving a wedge between us all. It's hard to believe, but it actually feels more oppressive on here than it usually does. If it wasn't for the masks and the vacant seats between us, you'd be forgiven for thinking things were going back to normal. But for me, everything feels irrevocably altered. It's hard to believe that only a few months ago I was sat on the sofa watching Boris confirm my fears. A national bloody lockdown. Hasn't time behaved strangely ever since? It seems like only yesterday I was down the pub with my friends, and yet it also feels like another world. For the first time ever, I'm nervous to see them. What if we've all changed too?
George is an actress. You'd think she'd have more confidence than she does. Exudes it on stage but can fade into a crowd when she's not. She's in her dad's flat in Holland Park.
Oh, I forgot to bring glasses. I've got a bottle of Prosecco and no glasses. I wonder if I text the group, one of them will be able to bring some. Actually, I should probably buy disposables. Then someone doesn't have to wash everyone's glasses and risk catching it from them. I hate buying disposables. They're so bad for the environment. But being safe is more important. I wonder if there are some paper cups or bamboo, something I could buy. God, there's so much to think about. Am I overthinking it? I mean, look, that barber shop we just passed was packed. Plus, there are at least four people on this bus not wearing a mask. And believe me, I'd like to take mine off. My upper lip is sweaty as hell in this heat. Maybe if I just hold it off my face a little, my makeup won't be ruined by the time I get off and see everybody. No, don't touch your face. Don't touch it. Oh, but I want to. If I could just itch my nose. Oh, that's so annoying. I can't hold off, I can't. Just a quick scratch. Oh. Did anyone see that? Am I being too paranoid? Maybe I just need to relax a little. I haven't been to Central in ages. Really stuck to my flat, my corner shop, and my jogging route. Didn't even vary that very much. That's mad. If you'd told me last year that I'd spend 3 months of my life travelling within a 1 mile radius, I wouldn't have believed you. Is it bad that I've kind of enjoyed myself? I know everyone is so excited to meet up today and get back to reality, but I don't really miss some of what came before. I hated commuting. And why was I obliged to buy £10 cocktails on Thursdays with office friends? And I've no idea how I managed to force myself into a pencil skirt and heels for an entire workday. Even putting on a bra today felt like strapping myself into some kind of medieval torture device. Maybe post-quarantine we can advocate for office pyjama days. Finally getting rid of shirts and suits and realising we could work just as well in Daffy Duck pyjamas and fuzzy socks.
Alex is from Scotland originally. She's been holed up in Shoreditch during lockdown and missing her folks back home in Glasgow more than she cares to let on.
I've come to enjoy my regulated walk. Before all of this, you wouldn't catch me dead walking 5 miles through London without sun cream in blazing heat to sit in a park. To be fair, it's a bit of a distance, but I'd rather burn than risk the tube. All those bodies packed together like a tin of sardines. Each other's breath circulating through the air. Not a chance. I'm quite nervous, actually. Nervous to see real, live people again. Not that people aren't real. I mean, I have seen people during lockdown, and they are alive. Of course, at the regulated 2 metre distance away, I wouldn't chance that. I'm excited to see my friends. People who aren't the Amazon delivery man, or the various delivery cyclists, or the Royal Mail guy. It's weird how they always wear shorts, even on rainy days. And yes, I have noticed that because there is nothing else to do, nothing to look forward to. 2020. Written off.
David and I are writers. He's over in Hoxton and I'm here in Shepherd's Bush quietly isolating ourselves into creative oblivion and mind-melting tedium.
Of course, we'd seen it coming. Sensed the rising importance of the global outbreak. Seen China lock down Wuhan and other cities. Seen Italy start to get overwhelmed. Healthcare system at full stretch. Families confined to tiny apartments in cities we'd walked around as tourists in the last couple of years. Now ghost towns, silent and ominous. We'd seen the first cases here, shrugged and talked about underlying health conditions, the elderly and the vulnerable. Then the numbers rose, and the tone of the government changed, and the walls seemed to close in slightly. Claustrophobic dread they try to make you feel in escape rooms as the clock ticks round to your hour and you don't have a clue how to get out. It was weird how Contagion and Outbreak became the most watched movies. How that game where the aim is to infect the whole world with a disease started being played by millions more people. How some people seem to need fictional apocalypses to make sense of this real one. And then Johnson caught it. We all secretly thought, shit, if he can catch it, with all his advisors and protectors and budgets and surrounded by the leading public health experts in the whole country to look after him, what hope is there for us?
I went out for a walk just after lockdown had been confirmed. It was like a sci-fi movie in which the entire population of a city had been vaporized or disintegrated, but the fabric of the buildings, the streets, the trees, the pigeons are left completely untouched. Weird and disorienting. I'll never forget it as long as I live. That silence, that stillness, it was profound. Chilling in a way. Tingles on the back of my neck.
This is the biggest city in Britain. A monster of a city that normally thrashes and growls and thrums with life and movement and noise and, well, people. London is 4 Birminghams, 12 Liverpools, 3 Chicagos, 6.5 Milans. We're cheek by jowl, jostling for our little bit of the city and content to live in tiny flats because, well, in a city like this, as exciting as this, you're going to be out and about enjoying it most of the time, not sitting at home all day, every day, for 12 long weeks, not seeing a soul because, well, you don't choose your neighbours, do you?
Obviously, I know you can't feel germs, and I keep telling myself that. But when I'm in public spaces now, there's something in the air that makes me feel itchy. Like the invisible clouds of pollen in spring, or when somebody starts talking about ants. Is it just me who can feel it? Jesus, I really should get out more.
The London streets are eerie. I went out near the start of lockdown, just rode my bike around the city. One form of exercise per day, remember? Well, that was mine. I never felt safer pedalling the London streets. Never felt the air cleaner. Never rode down the Strand or the Finchley Road or the Edgware Road without feeling like I was directly inhaling the filth from a van's exhaust straight into my lungs. But this was a pleasure. This was pure.
The face mask always makes me smile. A scarf folded to a triangle untied behind my neck, bank robber style. I looked genuinely threatening on the Black Lives Matter protest a few weeks ago. I caught myself in the shop window. Scarf, mask, baseball cap, dark glasses. I almost crossed the street to avoid myself. But where face masks like this once meant rebellion, they now firmly mean conformity. Caring enough about one's fellow man and woman not to wish to infect them. No brain, you'd think, except, well, it's not for everyone. I haven't been on a bus in 3 months. It feels weird, radical almost, a little dangerous. I have to keep telling myself the mask is for others' benefit, not mine. It's not protection, and as the government keeps telling us, avoid public transport when you can. Well, I can't, not this time. It's a risk I'm taking and I'm sort of fine with it. Christ, I almost forgot the bus stop. I feel like a bloody tourist in my own city. I'll be needing to get my A to Z out next to work out where I am. I wonder if this meetup will be properly socially distanced. It's all about trust, I guess. I want to know that everyone is going to behave as sensibly as I am, and I'm finding it hard to trust that that will be the case. Each time I've been out to buy food or take exercise, it's been a battle to stay distanced, to do what I need to do and get back.
Some people think being furloughed is amazing, and I guess it has its perks. I've been lucky compared to my artist mates, but it gets old very quickly. Once you've exhausted Netflix, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, and every other online streaming service. Yes, the highlight of my days has been tracking my numerous parcels and packages. God, that's a bit sad, isn't it? peering through the blinds at the stop, drop, and run missions of the various delivery men who practically chuck your parcel from the front gate to your door, then leg it. I've ordered quite a bit in lockdown, actually. Overindulged a little. Okay. Yeah, a lot. My upper lip is so sweaty under this mask. Worth it, though. It's a Harry Potter one. And yes, one of my many recent online purchases. I can feel the judgment from the people staring as they walk past. Eyes flickering to the cartoon Voldemort plastered on my face. I swear, I got it before JK Rowling was cancelled on Twitter. At least I'm wearing a mask. People are acting as if easing lockdown means that the virus has just gone away. Funny how they cross the road to avoid me, the one wearing the mask. That logic doesn't really work, does it?
At first, it was actually fun. We did what I imagine most people do when faced with a crisis and worked our way through the booze cupboard, spilling birthday bottles of wine we'd been saving all over dusty games dug out from under the stairs. The Zoom parties followed, then the online pub quizzes. Suddenly, I was seeing more of my friends than I had in months. We were burning cakes, learning Dutch, lifting weights on webcams. The endless days yawned in front of us, waiting to be filled, and asking nothing of us in return. Then came the slump. I'd been given a beautiful diary last Christmas and had carefully filled it with performances, tour dates. 2020 was going to be my year. But, like a slowly leaking tap, the emails came dripping through. Cancelled, postponed, cancelled. My year emptied out before me. There wasn't even time for an encore. Well-meaning messages encouraged me to use the time wisely, to write a new album, or finally squeeze out that ever-elusive John Lewis Christmas advert hit. But it was impossible to feel creative when I was stuck in that little flat. No bookings, no audience, no knowledge of when venues would reopen, or even if they ever would. The thought of all those empty stages gathering dust, it breaks my heart. Of course, I'm grateful that I got to play gigs at all during lockdown, but they were so different to anything I've done before. There's this immediacy to playing live, a surge of emotion and appreciation on a good night that follows the last chord of each song. It carries you on, builds you up, fills you with confidence and a sense of invincibility. There's none of that when you're playing a Facebook Live concert. The last chord is a kind of apology. It hangs there in the ether like a mist obscuring the sun. I'm a fraction of the performer I should be, a sort of decaf, alcohol-free, semi-skimmed, just-add-water version of myself coming at you through awful tinny laptop speakers over dodgy broadband connections that hang and lag and break up. My personality and warmth really struggles to swim to the surface with no feedback from the listeners. Confidence gradually eroding. By the end of the performance, I'm just a doll with a guitar, smiling on cue, thanking everyone for listening, and then grabbing a huge glass of wine the moment the green connection light goes off. Ugh, shit, that was hard. 'Cause I shouldn't love you. Never complain about busy bars again. I won't even moan when tall blokes stand in front of me at gigs. God, I miss those sticky floors, those jostling strangers. Every weekend we'd hunt out a crowd. Now here I am, sat on a train, praying people won't come near me.
It's funny seeing so many people milling around. I almost feel prudish. Every time I see a couple holding hands, it feels offensive, like I'm some Victorian lady. There's such a mix of distancing here. Look, that guy's wearing gloves and a mask. Those teenagers are hugging and greeting each other, I think. I mean, who can blame them?
stay home, don't stay home. Go out, but don't go out. Not exactly your clearest message, Bojo. Rules do seem very open to interpretation. I don't even know if I'm allowed to be doing this. Do I go for a handshake? A hug? Am I just going to wave at my friends stood in front of me? I mean, I don't know how safe they've been.
Of course, distancing had to go out the window for the Black Lives Matter protest. You can't not react when another black guy gets beaten to death by white cops. Can't fail to use the opportunity to quietly point out to anyone who listened that the nice statues decorating squares up and down the country actually depict people whose wealth and reputation were built on slavery and exploitation of people like me. There was no way I was going to miss it. No way. But for a fortnight afterwards, I was expecting to start coughing, lose my sense of taste and smell, and wind up in some intensive care unit fighting for every breath. The streets have been quite eerie. The expressions on people's faces have switched from frightened and hunted to wary and worn down. Turns out that the breakdown of all we've come to trust and understand can be a bit boring. Remember that for your next Armageddon movie project, screenwriters. The sunlight out here in what we've started to call the big room is bright and warm. We've skipped spring and lockdown, or at least those of us locked down in a two-room studio apartment that doesn't catch any direct sunlight have. It feels like a sinful pleasure, a snatched and guilty breach of lockdown rules, but Cummings. So, frankly, who cares?
Calls for the British Prime Minister's top advisor, Dominic Cummings, to resign continue to grow inside Boris Johnson's own party. The journey Mr. Cummings made during lockdown to isolate at his parents' farm in Durham with his family continues to draw fire despite his lengthy public explanation yesterday. At today's Downing Street briefing, the Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, announced that 134 people had died from coronavirus in the UK in the last 24 hours. But instead of talking more about the fall in coronavirus deaths, the Health Secretary found himself saying he would look at reviewing fines.
A lot of my housemates are actors, so all went home to their parents or other family members outside of London when the pandemic hit. I left it too late. The price of flights rocketed, and I didn't want to risk the 8-hour megabus from London Victoria to Glasgow. I didn't want to put my family in any danger. Mum's got asthma. I really missed them. My baby niece has gotten so big so quickly, and I've missed all of that.
I feel like London is coming back to life again. It's so loud here, the streets are busy. There was this day, about a week after my office shut, when Boris did that big announcement. I went outside to put the bins out. The moment I stepped through the door, I felt something was different. I shut the lid of my bin and stood there for a second. Silence. The planes had stopped. The traffic was gone, but the birds hadn't returned yet. So it was eerie. But I loved it. Quiet London. My mind had been so busy up to that moment, worry and plans spinning around my brain. It's like I'd suddenly plunged into a cold water and floated there for a second. Enjoying suspension, the weightlessness. I think that calm stayed with me. There were no deadlines, no bus times, no pressing matters. I ate when I was hungry. I cooked what I had a taste for. I stretched with yoga and found genuine release, not competition with the Instagram yogi in my class. How do I explain to my friends that I've loved it? Is that even allowed?
Some of us suddenly found freedom through furlough or closure. Freedom and a sense of nagging helplessness. What did you do during the pandemic, Daddy? Watched every episode of Ozark, Money Heist, Normal People, Feds, Breaking Bad, The Americans, Game of Thrones, The Wire. I could go on. I'm a writer. I should have been inspired. Thank God for sunshine and that tiny 3 metre by 2 metre little courtyard which catches the Hoxton sun for a couple of hours each lunchtime. It's kept me sane and healthy. It's hardly rained during lockdown, so I've been out there a lot, catching the rays, reading, just watching that little square of blue up above me and dreaming that one day all of this will be over.
It feels good to wear sunglasses. It feels good to wear clothes that I'd be happy to be seen in. Being furloughed should have been a gift. I can still pay my rent and buy my food on my 80% salary, and there's nothing to spend the missing 20% on anyway. So what went wrong? Read some books, began to write, but it came to nothing. Didn't end up writing that novel or that screenplay or that anything at all. I'm 5 minutes away and this nagging, stupid anxiety is just toying with me and I can't help but think, God, I've changed. God, this thing has changed me. I stop, sit on a wall and do the deep breaths and the self-chat reasoning thing. What's the worst I could... But all bets are off on that score this year. I'm seriously thinking of tapping out the text to say I can't make it. Thought I could, but turns out I was wrong.
I can see the park at the end of the road. Now that I'm here, I'm not sure I really want to see them. For so many months, I wished that life could go back to normal, but not this new normal, the old normal, where there was no virus, and we could drink a pint safely, and I could hug my mates, go to one of Freya's gigs, be outdoors without worrying that I'll get ill. I want to turn back, run the 5 miles home, order my usual from Just Eat, and rewatch Tiger King, but I guess it's time to say hello again and face this new normal.
And then I see Alex and she sees me, and for a moment it's like the last 12 weeks haven't happened. And she skips across the quiet road in that West London residential street, and I shape to hug, and we both realise at the last minute and laugh awkwardly and do this ungainly, inelegant, elbow-touching thing, and it looks like there are tears in her eye. Certainly are in mine.
The park is full of birdsong and blossom and sunshine and, weirdly, a sort of hope. Are we all coming out of the darkness, or is this an illusion? A false dawn. I hang around by the statue of Nelson Mandela, which reminds me of the recent protests here, on this very spot. Rekindles the nagging guilt that I didn't show up to stand alongside Michael. White privilege rooting me to my Twitter feed instead. Fear of the virus still? The news images of those crowds, shoulder to shoulder, banners high. I've never felt more torn, ripped down the middle, wanting to be there yet drowning in anxiety about leaving the house. The mind was strong, but the body weak. Ooh. The other way round. So instead I took to my keyboard. Hashtag Blackout Tuesday, hashtag Black Lives Matter, hashtag Juneteenth 2020. A Twitter warrior. My messages out there, all around the world. Was it enough?
The silence is weird. Unnerving. Birdsong, the pleasing clicks and whirs of a cycle chain indexing through the gears. My heels tip, tip, tapping on stone. I turn into the park by the Forster Road entrance next to the Mandela statue. And I see her straight away. Georgia. Mane of hair swept back, shades, denim jacket over a summer dress, looking super cool in ways I could never pull off. She sees me, double takes, then grins.
Oh my God, Freya!
Georgia, how are you? Hang on, no hugging, you know the rules.
God, I'm sorry. You forget, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You do.
Let's go and find the others. You look great, by the way. Lockdown treated you well?
Freya, Georgia. Oh, wow, so good to see you.
How are you, Michael? So nice to see you.
It's so good to see everyone.
Dave, how are you, mate? Looking good.
God, this is amazing. So good to see everyone. I've brought wine.
Wine, eh? Don't mind if I do. Cheers. And for once, I started to believe that this would all be over soon. That things would be back to normal, that we'd go back to our weekly meetups, that we'd get to celebrate each other's successes and drown our sorrows when something didn't go so well. And we'd soon be back watching Freya play on a stage somewhere, through a proper sound system with a live audience.
Was written by Catherine Priddy, Marie-Claire Wood, Caris McRoberts, and Chris Gregory, with additional material by Warren Graham. Warren Graham played Michael. Catherine Priddy was Freya. Marie-Claire Wood played Georgia. Sophie McNair played Alex. Chris Gregory was David. The song Wolf, which was written and performed by Catherine Priddy, who played Freya in this production. It is available as the title track of an EP, which came out in 2019, and we'll provide links so you can buy it from Catherine's website in our show notes. Wolf is produced by Simon J. Weaver and is used in this podcast with Catherine's kind permission. Other music and soundscapes were by Chris Gregory, with effects from freesound.org. News clips were public domain extracts from Downing Street press briefings. The presenter is Karen Cooper. Out of the Darkness has been an Alternative Stories 2020 production for the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. If you'd like to find out more about the actors and writers in this production, we'll post links to them in our show notes. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a rating or review in Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or your favourite podcast app. This is the last podcast in Series 2 of Alternative Stories and Fake Realities. We would like to thank all the writers, actors, poets and musicians who have appeared on the podcast this series. Thank you also to all our listeners for your loyalty and your kind comments in email and social media. Series 3 will start in September, and we'll share a preview of what's to come in the next few weeks, along with writer prompts for anyone wishing to get involved in producing content for us. Thank you for listening to the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast.
Stories and Fake Realities podcast. Audio drama, poetry, fiction.